straight sound of the morning. It's 1 minute, 13 seconds after the hour of 11. In this, in the month of March, in the year of our Lord, 2007. Thank you for coming along, making it part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed, yet not overly ostentatious, studios of AM 970, Solid State
Radio.
Thank you so much for your radio presence and your patronage. We appreciate it. It is Friday, and welcome to day 12. If you'd like to be part of today's program, it is 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. If you'd like to engage with us electronically, you can do that as well. It is Rick at rickemerson.com. Rick at RickEmerson.com. 503-733-2970 today for your comments, your clarifications, your kvetches, your limericks, your what have you. Limericks are Irish, aren't they? I don't want to fall into Scotty J territory.
I believe, yes, Limerick is in Ireland.
All right. Anyway, Scotty informed me this morning. Well, never mind.
It's too early.
It's going to make my brain hurt if I start talking about it now. And I got to be nice to him. He brought me this Gillette Fusion razor with the battery. Apparently, it has five blades. It actually has six. It has five blades.
Now, did you not shave today?
No, I deliberately did not shave today.
Oh.
What?
You don't have very fast-growing facial hair.
I'm not much of a man, Sarah. Is that what you're trying to say?
That's what I was trying to say.
Why don't you come over here and kick me in the sack? Why don't you do that, huh? Thanks for that.
It's brand new, too.
No, I can skip a day if I really, really have to. I don't like to. I can, not unlike my underarm deodorant, I can skip a day. Anyway, so I got this. So I got to be nice to Scotty for at least like the next hour or so. He's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick at RickEmerson.com. 503-733-2970. Coming in today. We have McCarthy coming up for a while, right? He's in Atlanta?
Yeah, in like 12 minutes.
Is there a big Irish population in Atlanta? Oh, he's in Savannah. Savannah, Georgia is gearing up for its annual party that draws, and this is in quotes, draws hundreds of thousands of, quote, Irish. Wasn't there a time in America when you tried not to be Irish? Isn't that being Irish was a... I mean, I'm not saying that I viewed it as being a bad thing ever, but wasn't there a time when you didn't want to be Irish? Because people punch you and then set you on fire?
Shanty Irish. Hot place for Irish.
I didn't hear anything you just said.
They were called Shanty Irish.
And what are those?
The beginnings of the Kennedys.
Yes.
As opposed to lace curtain Irish, which you became after you moved to Hyannis.
Which you became after you engaged in bootlegging. After you sold an illicit drug for a good 10 or 15 years and ruthlessly crushed all who opposed you, then you became the old lace Irish. So then you were just a common grubby thief. Not because you were Irish, just because you're bootlegging. I'm just saying. I'm sorry. This whole show has started off on the wrong foot. Anyway.
It's like we pick something to slander every day.
We should totally.
It has been. Like, one day it was Jesus this week. The Monday you were saying retarded over and over again.
Well, those are clinical terms, Sarah.
Yeah.
The, not unlike, now, is that where shanty towns come from?
Yes.
Do shanty towns, let me ask you this, Tim Riley, since we're already on this and there's no way of backing up, since this car has no reverse gear, and I am curious about these, because I like to know things. I am curious about linguistic history and etymology. So now, do the shanty Irish give us the word, the name shanty? This is historical. Do the shanty Irish give us shanty towns, or did shanty towns, were the Irish named after the places where they lived?
Where they came from. By proper Bostonian.
Shanty Ireland?
After they immigrated.
Where are you from? I'm from Shanty.
Right.
Something like that. I'm from Clapboard. I'm from the village of Tar Paper Shack. All right. Well, it's 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming along. I'm not going to make my observation about the potato famine either. I'll wait like an hour for that. I'll wait until we're done talking to Ed O. McCarthy or whatever. Is the McCarthy Scottish or Irish?
Are you just going to put O, like Jim O'Reilly?
Meanwhile, everybody's going to call him Tim O'Reilly all day. Who are we fooling? What is it, CNN? Do they just look around for somebody with a... You there, with the mick. You're covering St. Patrick's Day. All right, well, whatever. 503-733-2... It's just an excuse for rivers of green vomit tomorrow night. I mean, that's all. You know it's true. It's 503-733-2970. If you'd like to email, you can do that as well. It is rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. You could email... Never mind. I was going to make the worst Irish pun. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to hold back. I'm not going to do that. All right.
Why do you have to make fun of my people, Rick?
I'm not making fun of your people. They're not your people. Are they your people? Really? If you just move your mouth and don't speak, I can't hear you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, because your mom is Irish or Irish or oh, Irish. I sound drunk today. It's an honor of St. Patrick's Day.
I wonder if Scotty drove today. If not, let's get him plastered.
I don't think it'll be difficult today. That's how St. Patrick would want us to remember him driving the snakes out of Ireland. Is by abusing our livers and then vomiting in the streets. And then selling used cars at a reasonable price. And having a series of commercials with badly voiced Irish accents. Do you remember when we worked at Entercom?
Oh, I don't even want to talk about that. I know exactly what you're talking about.
We worked at Entercom, not to get all distracted, but it is Drunken Irish Friday, so I can say that. There's an Irish person on the show. And down the hall, Jeff McGinley. Oh, McGinley, he's Irish. I think Christine Levine is Irish. I think. I didn't think she was. Apparently she's Irish. Jeff McGinley was telling me that. She's all blonde and pale. Are the Irish pale, Sarah?
Some of them are.
Really?
You know, it's a lot of times... You know, you think the Irish are just red hair, green eyes, but most of the Irish people I met, especially when I was in Ireland, are all dark hair, blue eyes.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'd like them. You want to make them your special friend.
Okay.
You're so creepy.
I'm not saying anything. I'm just standing right here. Saying, oh, this and oh, that. Anyway, I don't even know what I'm doing. Oh, yeah, but so with the last time we were on the air, I guess last year we were on the air, but when we were at Entercom for St. Patrick's, it was coming up, and there was a business that is not currently advertised with this, but it was a business that sold adult products. They sold adult products. They sold, you know, they didn't sell whatevers and nahs or whatever, but they did. I sold a lot of and.
Did you want to go pick up a? You know.
They also sell it. Yeah. And plus a. We do sound drunk. We do sound really drunk. Did you just say that?
Yeah. You say that every time. Don't act like that.
Okay, we're done. We're done. We're stopped. I'm not going to back up. We're no longer going to... I think this Irish discussion is making you drunk. Well, in any event, I will say very briefly that when we were working at Entercom, there was this hideous commercial for a client that is not currently advertised with us, but they sold adult products of every size and shape. And it was a conversation between the two most non-Irish people you could possibly imagine, one of whom in the commercial was named Seamus, to the undying horror of our listener Seamus, who actually has that name. And it was a whole lot of, will you be tickling me shillelagh? You know, and it's just, you wanted to kill yourself. You heard it and you just wanted to go hang yourself. Well, are you going to be kissing the Blarney Stone or anything else, Seamus? Says like, and it was like the least Irish voice you could possibly imagine.
It was so awkward.
Will you be buying me any leprechaundums?
Like Chicky Green was trying to be an Irish.
Oh, exactly. That's exactly what it sounded like.
Did you say leprechaundums?
Leprechaundums. You know, with leprechaundums, Sarah, you can be doubling your protection. Sarah Dillon's drunk. Sarah Dillon's drunk.
Oh my God, you crack me up.
Well, that's what I do.
What's wrong with you? Have you been rehearsing anything in your head?
No, I've been listening to Scotty. I've been taking his advice about how to be funny. Scotty informed me yesterday that if I would listen to him more frequently, quote, the show would be a lot funnier. All right. Tim O'Reilly is working on the following story. I'm going to have to fight not to say everything in that voice today. Working on the following stories for ye edification.
Well, a cat survives a four-story fall from Lake Oswego balcony. A longtime dream comes true for Candyman, who wins a brand new hardware store. Wikipedia mistakenly reports Sinbad being dead.
Who?
Sinbad.
The pirate?
He is dead.
I'm almost sure of it.
And here's a story that Scott's been working diligently on all week. The sighting of a rare woodpecker is questioned. So, Scotty, we're going to talk about your woodpecker.
What? Thank you. I was going to ask why, and then you answered the question. Like microseconds later, you answered that. Thank you. All right, what else do we have today? Hey, get that horn out of my scrotum. We also have a geek. We got a bunch of geek watchers. We have several watchers, period, that have piled up. Many geek watchers. We'll get to that. Scott Daly is going to be here from FilmFeverRadio.com. I'm not sure if he's reviewing anything today, and I think he's reviewing DVDs today. He's also going to bring in the top five movie soundtracks as voted upon by the fine folks at Film Fever Radio. We'll do that. Will Elton John turn you gay? Yes. Yes, gayer than you can possibly imagine. Gayer than if you were the gay mayor of Gaydonia. What else? Well, yes, we got the top five, all of that. And then, by the way, in case you're wondering what flavor Sarah's Belchers are this morning, Sarah's Belchers today are the flavor of sausages and cherry soda. All right. 503-733.
You always make me sound so terrible.
I don't. I'm simply passing along accurate information.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Oh, they, you know, it just adds to your...
Leopard condom.
It adds to your charm.
Doubling your pleasure.
Be doubling... I mean, and there's got to be some... I mean,
who hasn't thought of that? That better actually be on the market.
Leper condoms?
Yeah.
You can put it right there. There you go. You screw radio. There's your new exciting new venture. You know, on radio, the radio stations are filled with... I'm not going to complain much longer about this. But radio stations, really, they're filled with voice people. They're filled with people who theoretically could do a convincing... But it's never... They never come find a voice person whenever they need an accent. I'm just talking about the Irish accent. There's all kinds of... Like, I heard some commercial the other day. It was on another radio station. Some commercial with, like the worst Jamaican... Like, clearly the whitest man they could possibly have found doing some, you know, hey, man, come... Come buy a car, man. You know, for like no reason. No, there was no reason for it. You ever hear a commercial where they drop in a voice and the voice has... There literally is no reason for this voice, and it's like a bad celebrity impersonation. Like, what's this? Well, it's, well, we're selling tacos. Well, what's the interesting thing about this taco commercial? Well, we've got John Cleese doing it, except it's not John Cleese. It's like some dick from the sales department who they brought down to do like a bad Cockney accent because he thinks that makes him sound like John Cleese. And somehow, like in the production department's head or more likely in the sales guy's head, that equals genius. Let's take these calls, and then Ed O'McCarthy will be joining us. At, actually, even before we go to the break, at like 11:15, he'll be joining us today. Oh, and then I've got... Did we already do the Tim O'Reilly's working on the following stories?
Yeah, we did.
Are you sure they're not just piping booze into the air today?
No.
We can't be the only one. All right. I've got this exciting press release, too, that many people will be interested in. And by many people, I mean me and Tim. John, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hey, I just wondered if you're going to make fun of the Black Irish today, too.
What do you mean?
Well, the Black Irish were the Spanish survivors of the Spanish Armada who made their way around the island of England and stopped in Ireland and made whoop with the local Irish women.
They made what?
They made whoop.
They made whoop? Really? How old are you?
However, they made. They
made whoop. I'm sure it was consensual.
No, not really.
Whenever you hear
a delicious Irish meal. Yeah.
The point being, you
have had me whoop.
People who have dark hair, thick beard.
We're trying to make fun of all the Irish at once. Presumably that includes the Black Irish.
Okay.
We're trying to make fun of all of them.
Okay.
Everyone, everywhere.
Good. Best show ever, Rick.
Thank you. It wasn't the best show ever until I said I was making fun of all the Irish. Then that catapulted it from a merely adequate show to fantastic. We'll do one more, and then we'll talk to Ed O'McCarthy. That's going to get old. Patty, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi. Patty? Oh, you know, and I should have been...
Patty.
Damn you. Damn you, Patty. She's an untrustable slut. I should have, you know, and I should have been prepared with this, too, when I went to talk to Patty.
Patty Cake.
There you go. And I wasn't, because I'm a terrible radio host. It's 503-733-2970. Oh, has Scotty... I'm sorry. Scotty has prepared an instrumental... Now, we won't go to a quiet yet, but Scotty has prepared an instrumental openings for all of the... for all of the guests today. I think we're talking about this before the show. For Lisa Goddard, I think I will use Kitty's Gone A-Milking. That'll be Lisa Goddard's intro music today. Sarah, can you throw it to my computer here? Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson radio program. Let's Welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, CNN radio correspondent. Ed McCarthy. Hello, sir.
What's happening to you now?
Oh, God.
This is going to be the longest show.
Yeah, you get the mix, you know. They call up and...
Now, can you clarify something for me now? Now, I thought that term, is it the Irish or is it the Scottish or is it both? And I hate to sound like a dumb idiot American that term is used for. Is that term used to refer to just the Irish?
The Irish.
All right. See, I don't know. And it's so weird because we were talking about you being on the show today. And I was talking to somebody this morning. And he said, hey, we were talking about St. Patrick's. And I said, Ed McCarthy. And he said, well, isn't he in Atlanta? Is that a big hotbed of Irish whatever? And I made this remark referring to the way your name is spelled. And I said, well, I just think they look for, like, any Mick in the building. I said, referring to the fact that it's MC. And then as soon as it was out of my mouth, I was sort of, I was trying to, like, suck the words back in as soon as I said it. Is this, like, a real Irish thing that happens? Or is this just, like, a lot of plastic hats and green beer?
Well, you know, for a lot of people, I suppose they all want to feel like they're Irish on St. Patrick's Day, you know, so even if they're not, they get involved in this thing. I mean, you know, it's a good day to go out and have a good party, you know.
Can I just say this, and I mean this in all sincerity, this is the thing that I love about America. I love that when they say that America is a melting pot, and it's not really true, because when you melt something in a melting pot, and any sort of metal worker will tell you this, that they all melt together and they all lose, like if you take many metals, which is where melting pot comes from, melt them all together, they're all gone. You lose all of the traits and consistencies and sort of characteristics of the original metals. You get something brand new that doesn't look like anything else. America is just sort of a gumbo or a salad.
a little bit, huh?
America it's not a melting pot. It is more like a casserole of sorts where, you know, you got like a distinctly American flavor. But we will take any culture, any ethnicity, any culture, any holiday, any other country, and we will find an excuse to drink ourselves blind and then go home and get into fights with our wives. And it really is, and I mean this sincerely, a great thing about this country.
This is especially now it falls on a weekend. Now it's Saturday, and you know, how many guys today do you think are jumping out of work early so they can go and see if they can get the corned beef and the cabbage and the green beer? So,
oh, man, if you called an hour later, we probably wouldn't even be here. I mean, it's like we, especially, working in radio. In radio, it's any excuse to clock off at 2 o'clock and go find a bar somewhere. So how many people, now this is in Savannah, Georgia, this happened. How many people they pull for this Irish celebration today?
They get about 400,000 to 500,000 people every year.
And
that's not a big place over there, but they little seaport town over there, but they really get a lot of people. They had the parade. It's been going back to 1813.
So 500,000 people.
500,000 crazy people. It's kind of like a Mardi Gras event in Savannah, Georgia.
Can you imagine what the restrooms in that place must smell like on Monday morning?
Have some out there. They've got to have them out there.
Hey, can I ask you a question? Hey, and I mean this question very seriously, because this is a thing I always wonder about. In parades or celebrations of any kind, where there is ticker tape rained down or thrown from buildings, is there literally, like, is it just the typical city janitors who just have to go in and clean all of that stuff up?
They go in with the street sweepers and clean it up, especially down in New Orleans and all of that when they have the beads and everything. That place is a mess. They're out with shovels sometimes, too, picking all that up. So, I mean, it's the same type thing. The sanitation crews, those are the unsung heroes for all of our misdeeds on these holidays.
I got to tell you, the one time that I spent New Year's Eve in Times Square, and I've only ever done that once, my wife and I, we cheaped out for the first, week. We spent the first week in New York in some rat hole just so we could afford to stay in Times Square, like, the final night. And which was pretty great, by the way. It was pretty fantastic being in Times Square for New Year's. But, I mean, just hundreds of tons of confetti, and I actually just felt all of this terrible liberal guilt as I'm standing there, all this confetti coming down. And I know there's some guy for like 4 cents an hour who's going to come in like you know, the next day to start cleaning that stuff up. So
not in New York, Rick. They make more than we do.
Well, that's not a high bar to exceed, my friend. We're taking a little poll here. Since you do work in the broadcasting industry, have you ever been pulled into a production room and asked to voice a bad Irish accent for some sort of a commercial?
You know, I have. Years ago, I used to do every once in a while I would do that. But I mean, I could do the brogue because we've got, you know, I come from, obviously, the family goes way back, that they go to Ireland,
sure.
You know, and all of them, they're You couldn't believe the brogue. We used to say it was so thick you could cut it with a knife.
Fantastic.
So, you know, I got used to doing that over the years. You know.
Do you have a, you and Kathy have big plans for tonight?
Actually, for tomorrow, we're gonna cook the corned beef and cabbage tomorrow and get it all set. And we'll have my mother, she's 85, we'll have her over. She does the Irish bread. And we'll tell a few Irish jokes.
God bless you. All right. Well, my friend, enjoy your weekend. Stay safe, and we will undoubtedly speak to you early on next week. So have a great weekend, Ed, and happy St. Patrick's Day.
Happy St. Pat's to you.
Thank you, sir. There you go. Ed McCarthy, ladies and gentlemen, CNN radio correspondent. God bless him. All right.
It feels weird to already have a guest out of the way.
Well, because I didn't... I figured he was already... I mean, let's be honest. I figured he was going to be drinking with like half an hour. So I just wanted to get it done. Are we breaking? Oh, no, this isn't the break. Okay, good. Thanks for bringing the break. Rick, shanty is from the Irish word shan. It means house. Oh, I guess it's an old house. Oh, this is from Patty, who hung up. And then she says, if you call me a slut again, I'll beat you with a shillelagh. All right. And then she spells shillelagh, shillelag. I don't even... Shillelagh is one of those words that until this very incident, I never realized I had no idea how to pronounce it. All right. Or to spell it. Or whatever. Anyway. Okay, so we got the razor to get through. We got Lisa Goddard coming around the corner. I do have to share this, though. I got this in my inbox last night. And first of all, it's a little creepy because it's an email from Wolfman Jack. Now, I'm pretty sure that Wolfman Jack has been dead for a long time. How long has Wolfman Jack been dead? For like 5 years? 9 years? Something like that? Many years?
Several years.
So I have this now. I have received, and I don't know who would possibly have subscribed me to this. You are receiving this bi-monthly newsletter from Wolfman Jack Entertainment. What would Wolfman Jack Entertainment consist of at this point? I'm dead, baby. That's a cheap joke. Blah, blah, blah. Wolfman Jack Entertainment. So they apparently think that we're... Well, maybe they think that I'm the promotions person here at the station, or they think we have a lot more money than we really do. Wolfman Jack Entertainment. Now, do you ever wonder about bands and celebrities that are no longer even B-list, that they're down on like the Q-list, and you wonder, like, have you ever gone to just some bar, and you go to a bar, and it's like one guy... from Bachman Turner Overdrive. It's like the bass player from Bachman Turner. And it always says that in huge letters on the flyer. Featuring blah, 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 former bass player for Bachman Turner Overdrive. Or those people that play at the casinos and we always wonder who books them. You need wonder no longer. Wolfman Jack Entertainment books them.
Ian used to know one of the Haywards from Bo Donaldson and the Haywards.
Really? You still know me? You should pass them along to Wolfman Jack.
Well, I think they sold their store in some small town now.
In this issue, we're including of the few, listen to this, including a few of the top name acts available for events in your area. Some artists might be routed and available at discounted talent fees based on... How sad. You've given Wolfman Jack's been... You've given a guy who's taken over for Wolfman Jack, who's been dead for 10 years, the authority to discount your talent fee if he can get you booked into someplace. We strive to bring you the best live entertainment with your... This is so great and so sad. We strive to bring you, presumably this is like if you're a radio station and you want to book these guys to play one of your events, we strive to bring you the best live entertainment within your budget constraints. If you find yourself working for some sort of a company that is booking you using the phrase, within your budget constraints, you should probably find new representation. Many other top name acts are available. Please contact us for avails and pricing for your next event. Well, so, you know, the next time we have some sort of a listener event coming up, Tim, the next time we have a listener event coming up, you could be listening to the mellow sounds of Brewer and Shipley.
Oh, one took over the line.
Exactly. Recognized as one of the most successful folk rock duos of all time. Apparently, they say with a straight face, Brewer and Shipley have remained true to their original form, which is, I think, being largely unknown. That's their original form. And they've done it flawlessly. Sarah, do you know who Brewer and Shipley are? No, of course not. Nope. For 3 decades, apparently they've had many, many singles on the Billboard charts, all of which escaped the recollection of Tim, myself, and the people who write this information. Constantly touring. Really? God, I wonder if by touring, they just mean sort of walking from house to house, asking for spare change, for maybe like an exchange for a few bars of the song. Constantly touring, Brewer and Shipley could, note the past tense, could be found performing in such notable venues as Carnegie Hall, the Roxy, Arrowhead Stadium. Because of Keep in mind, this is Brewer and Shipley we're talking about, by the way, who are being pitched to us as some sort of a... They want us to book them for something. Because of their broad appeal, they are a favorite act on the touring circuit. Apparently, they toured with Black Sabbath at some point. Looking for summer, fall 07 dates? Call now to reserve Brewer and Shipley for your next event. First come, first serve. Let's see. What else do we have here? This is so great and so awful. Janie Lane, original lead singer, songwriter of Warrant. Lead singer of the multi-platinum band Warrant. For 16 years, Janie Lane has been the lead singer and songwriter for the band Warrant. Janie Lane, in huge letters here, even bigger than the word Warrant, which is the band that he had some hits with in the 80s, is recently seen on VH1's hit reality show Celebrity Fit Club, where he was just an obese, just a big sweating pig-like bastard. Janie has penned and recorded over 10 albums and written hundreds and hundreds of songs. His music has been featured in hundreds of commercials. He has performed thousands of shows for millions of people. And apparently his solo record is out now. Let's see. Rare Earth. And let's see. What else do they have here? Who else can we book? We can book... Imagine if the headline act at your radio station event is a tribute to the Blues Brothers. Let's see. What else do we have here? Rare Earth, Gator Country. Gator Country, which features, yes, the bass player from Molly Hatchet. It's so tempting just to book all of these acts, just to do one sort of big super act the next time we have any sort of event. Apparently, they can also book Head East, Great White, and Ricky Nelson Remembered, which is a Ricky Nelson tribute act. If Kirsten was still alive, I might forward this their way. And then I know we have to break here, but I'm saying, and then the final act that they have here, this is on the Wolfman Jack Entertainment newsletter that they have sent me. Apparently, we can book BT Express. I don't even know. I've never seen this before. I haven't clicked on the link. There's no description given, but I will guarantee you that BT Express is either, Tim?
They're a one-hit wonder from the 70s.
Oh, really? See, no, I...
From the disco era.
Is that true?
I remember the name.
I thought... See, I was thinking that BT Express was like a Creedence Clearwater Revisited thing.
Or it was like was called Express.
It wasn't the Ohio Express, you think?
No.
See, I was thinking that BT Express would be like a Bachman Turner tribute band, if one can imagine such a thing. And you can, after reading through this.
They're from the disco era. They have one hit.
Really? Okay. Well, it is. Apparently, these shows are not only incredibly entertaining, but affordable. Apparently, they feature authentic costuming and high energy. So it is really tempting to see how much it costs to book Great White. Great White. I think I'm going to click on this and find out. All right. Back after this, we'll come back. Lisa Goddard around the corner. Later on the AM 970 noon news hour, we'll talk to Scotty J. Scott Daly will be here, the top five, etc. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. saying about 70 salads? Being ready to go. Thank you very much. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It is rick@rickemerson.com. Now that whole thing, the BT Express thing is going to bug me. It's going to irritate me until I figure out who they are. Rick, speaking of Q-list band members, I shouldn't... I mean, look, as the guy from... What was the guy? Was that the guy from the Bullet Boys? As the guy from the Bullet Boys said at Outlaws Bar and Grill, which I shouldn't knock. It was a great show. It really was. But the guy, Mark Tareen or whatever the hell his name was. I can never remember the name of the guy from the Bullet Boys. But as the guy from the Bullet Boys said, really drunkenly, and I think on several types of acid, on the stage at the shouting it at the top of his lungs. We go to see, this is, I don't know, a couple months ago, we did that L.A. Guns show and Outlaws, the one where I forgot my name. And there's this great point during the Bullet Boys set when, and I'm not saying that there was any sort of illicit stimulant in his body.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying he seemed a little peppy. Perhaps more so than the evening, really, strictly speaking, required. But and the great thing about, and I know I'm taking a really roundabout way to get to this, and then we'll talk to Lisa Goddard here in a second. But the really great thing about that Bullet Boys show was how he clearly, for good or ill, had no idea where he was. just none. Somebody...
He wasn't even talking to the crowd. It was like there was a journal in his mind, and he was writing into it with his words.
It was sort of totally. It was like a verbal MySpace posting. but the, you know, it's like somebody gets him drunk, puts him on a plane, somebody gets him off a plane, somebody hands him the guitar, somebody sticks him on stage. He never has any idea where he is. And in his mind, and this is probably the great thing about the guy from the Bullet Boys, and they had that song, that Smooth Up song in the 80s. The great thing about him is he's there at Outlaws, which is, you know, is a cool place to see a show, but it's not a stadium by any means. But in his head, you could tell he was playing to 700 million people. He was, like, right there at the L.A. Forum.
Hundreds of millions.
And he just goes on to this long screed about his now ex-wife, which climaxes with the phrase... I'm sorry that Lisa Goddard has to hear this on hold, but with climaxes with the phrase, because she apparently had called him a has-been, and he said, I'd rather be a has-been than it ever was, you effing... And I mean, which is sort of great. So that's how I feel about these guys.
I have that on MySpace. That's one of my quotes.
Well, I mean, look, the more people know who that guy is, probably even than me. So, I mean, you know, whatever. But I'm just saying, it's going to bug me now when I look at this.
Why did you bring that up?
Because I want to know how much it costs to book Great White. Really, Rick Emerson needs to know this.
Oh, I do not desire to book it with them.
Oh, no, that you... Look, you'll never go to a safer rock show now than a Great White show. Do you think you could even get a paper cut at a Great White show?
No, see, it's not that I feel unsafe. I just don't know them, because I didn't...
They wrapped that entire place in asbestos before they even let anybody in.
Ugh. Well, because I don't know them as anything else except for, you know, the idiot band that killed a bunch of people.
It's not their fault.
Okay, it's not their fault.
It's kind of their fault. I don't know. Maybe it's their fault. I forget what the court ruling even was.
Who needs pyrotechnics these days?
Okay. Clearly not Great White. Do you think they even allow people to hold up lighters? Do you think if anybody...
Rick, you've got to stop.
No, I know. And here's the two sides of my personality. I love Great White. I really do. I honestly and sincerely and in a non-ironic fashion love Great White. I could list you Great White records that probably not even the band knows exist. I mean, I celebrate their entire catalog, and I really do mean that. In fact, on that Bigger Than Jesus, the supplemental thing, I listed there's a Great White album called Sail Away, which is one of the 10 great rock albums that no one owns, but really should.
And I just know that from Cartman covering it on South Park.
Sail Away? No, you're thinking of Styx.
Oh, yeah, come Sail Away.
Oh, God, I'm so old. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Oh, I'm sorry. I keep forgetting that it's St. Patrick's Day. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. It just doesn't have the same punch somehow. From the Hill, CNN radio correspondent, growing more embarrassed to be associated with this program by the moment, Lisa Goddard. Hi there.
Well, hello there, Julia.
Oh, no.
Oh.
No.
Hey.
Please, no.
I'm sorry.
No.
She's coughing up blood.
Yeah, how's that working out for you?
I was doing better when I was coughing up blood. I'll return.
I have to say, I won't mention who it is, but we work with somebody who, it is now, it's Friday. We work with somebody who actually, and this is somebody who doesn't ever take sick time, who has been gone now for 5 days.
Oh, my.
Five solid days. So there's clearly, and there's several other people in this building who, you know, went to bed fine, wake up, black lung. And so there's clearly a whole lot of something going around. So did you, let me ask you this, did you ask anybody about the spitting up blood? I mean, somebody who wasn't an idiot DJ?
No, I didn't, because it stopped. I'm telling you, I really think that there was something in there. My body was just encasing it.
Well, there was something in there. It's blood. I mean, that's...
True. Right. No, I didn't ask anyone. No. You have been my sole advisor, really.
Well...
This matter.
It's not that I'm not honored to be in that position. See, it's all well and good until you sit down with the rest of the Nostromo crew to eat cornbread, and then suddenly a huge creature comes out of your sternum, and then it's all downhill from there, Lisa. So.
Jerry Springer and that's all that's left.
No, that's true. I'm going to just completely cop to something here, and you know, I try to pass myself off as worldly and knowledgeable about political affairs and current events and the issues of the day and so forth. The CNN prep sheet is two pages, and
Really? Wow.
I think I lost the page that has your stuff on it, so I don't even really know. I don't even really know what's going on, except that the tedious Valerie Plame thing is just going on all day long.
It has ended now. It has ended now.
Oh boy, it was just sleep-inducing. I mean, was that even actual, when I say actual testimony, meaning what was the purpose? Haven't they already figured out who they're going to convict and who they're not, and the Scooter Libby thing happened and we're done and we're finished? What was she testifying for?
Some of the congressmen had your same question. What are we doing here, they were asking, but... I think the deal here is that Democrats feel that there are members of the White House staff who need to be brought up on charges or at least somehow more closely associated with wrongdoing in this case than they were, because there's a lot of feeling that Scooter Libby wasn't the only guy who did wrong, but he was convicted on lying, not on leaking. So they're having this hearing, I think most of all, to really bring this case back out into the public again and to try and make some kind of case against the White House, try and get some political leverage for a White House that they think is weak on these grounds right now. I think it's pretty political, but there is a case to be made, and to be fair to Democrats, to say that the CIA operative's name was leaked, and it's still not clear exactly how that happened. We know several of the administration officials who talked to reporters about it, but we're not clear on if they knew she was classified. We also don't know who told them. So there's a case to be made that they're trying to get to the bottom of how this leak happened, but really it feels like Democrats are just going after the White House because the White House seemed to not have a great deal of regard for this woman's identity and talked to reporters about it because they thought it would help them when they were up against the wall on weapons of mass destruction.
I suppose. I guess the thing that I, just as a political observer, the thing that I notice is that every time... God bless the Democrats. They really are brave little toasters, all of them, because they keep trying to create, how do I put this? You know, here's what the Democrats are to me. The Democrats are sort of like, I don't know, they're kind of like maybe Sly and the Family Stone, or perhaps Melanie, who sang the hit single Brand New Key. They keep remembering, they keep thinking back to Woodstock and this one glorious golden moment they had in front of 430,000 godless stinking hippies, and how it was a great day, and they just keep trying to recreate that or to harken back to that or to make people remember. For the Democrats, that's Watergate. Watergate is the Democratic Woodstock. And so every time they do something now, every time they catch the Republicans doing anything that can be construed as being any kind of dirty work, the Democrats keep trying to sort of prime this pump, and they try to spin it as being the new Watergate. And I think a big component of that is trying to get people to freaking care about it. And as my friend Chris Needham said, I'm kind of a good canary in the political coal mine for this, because it's not that I don't accept as an article of faith that politicians are all evil. They are. But I think that they're barking up the wrong tree if they're thinking this is going to start some chain reaction. And I wonder if the same is true about Alberto Gonzalez, the attorney general. There's sort of pressure. Do you think that pressure is going to get strong enough that Bush has got to let that guy go?
It feels like there's more momentum on that than on Valerie Plame, though I think what Democrats... First of all, you have to remember that Republicans were in charge of Congress so long that there is a case to be made that the administration could do pretty much whatever it wanted, and now Democrats are trying to make up for that and go after everything, or as much as where they think there was wrongdoing or where they think the public thinks there are problems. So I think that there is more momentum on Alberto Gonzalez right now. We've had another Republican congressman come out today saying he should resign. But we'll have to see next week how he really weathers this. We're expecting what's called a document dump in the next 2 or 3 hours from the Department of Justice. No mistake that's going to happen.
On a Friday.
Just as the network news goes on air so that no one can really broadcast what's in these latest round of documents on this scandal until really tomorrow, and a lot of people don't watch the news on the weekend. So next week we'll be telling. We'll have these new documents, and the Attorney General himself is going to sort of be trotted up here to try and make good, do damage control with Congress, and we'll see how that goes. But I think there is some potential for... I think his career is at stake, and it could go either way.
All right, it's just a real final note. This is totally off the subject. Is it... what's his name? Fred Thompson? Is he going to be running? Is he the... Yet,
like, he's thinking about it. He's chewing on that like a big, big chunk of tobacco. He really may get in the ring. Conservatives like him. They see him as a Reagan-type figure, and they don't like the other guys who are in the ring right now. It's possible.
Here's the big selling point of Fred Thompson is that he was a character actor in movies for so long that everybody will sort of vague. He feels like a guy you already know because you've seen him in a ton. And he's totally one of those guys that I, even right now, if somebody asked me, well, what would I remember him from? I don't think that I could pick out any role that anybody would actually remember Fred Thompson from, except to say that when you see him, you go, oh, yeah, that guy, which is the very definition of a character actor. So everybody kind of feels like they know him.
And he was generally the good guy in charge, the kind of gritty good guy in charge.
But he has no baggage that anybody knows of because obviously, it's early on in the campaign. So that guy, really, honestly, for all of the base, shallow, superficial reasons that America loves to embrace, that guy could be a real strong contender for the Republicans. You mark my words on this.
I think that's right. All right, here's the other thing that I'm just now hitting my radar that I'm a little scared about. I'm just now realizing that at this moment, we already have 18 presidential debates scheduled between now and next February.
Now, but most of the candidates aren't even going to... Like, I heard that Hillary and Obama might just decide to say screw it and not even go to most of those.
There's a couple of them. There is one that they dropped out of, and there's another one that Republicans dropped out of, so then people are rescheduling. But it's this dogfight between different states, and New Hampshire is clearly important, so they've got a bunch of debates. Now California is a big deal because of their primary on February 5th. South Carolina wants some credit. And so all of these states are jockeying for different debates, and they're all getting a bunch of them. And you just wonder if some of these are going to be Dennis Kucinich by himself.
Yeah. Well, of course. Dennis Kucinich, by the way, we're now just entering such political wanky territory.
Yeah, we are.
It's okay. No, it's really that there is a certain segment of the audience that likes that. So we'll just pander relentlessly to that for a second. But with this joke that 4% of the audience will get and laugh at, that really Dennis Kucinich is the new Paul Tsongas. I mean, it is true. Just kind of a, you get the feeling he's kind of a bright guy, but just such a small, slight, sad figure that you really feel like he ought to be teaching third grade English behind a wooden desk somewhere in Nantucket. You know what I mean? It's true. And I have to say, there's a final note about Dennis Kucinich, that I live not too far from where his official campaign headquarters was here in Portland, Oregon. He's huge in Portland because all of the reeking hippies love him. And
right,
I would
vegans? He's got the vegan vote.
He's vegan. He's anti-war. I don't know. He wears shoes made out of hemp or something. I don't know. But here's why he lost, though. Here's why he's loved here, and here's why he lost. Because I occasionally would bicycle by his campaign headquarters, and there would be no actual real work going on. It would just be the sounds of Bob Marley floating out, and you'd look inside, and it was just a bunch of people dancing in a circle.
That's not true.
It is true. I swear to you, I swear to you on the soul of my mother that I, on at least one occasion, bicycled by his campaign headquarters, and I swear to God, there was like a drum circle and a dance going on inside. So, that'll get you a whole lot of things. The presidency, not one of them. So, all right. Enjoy your weekend. For the love of God, woman, go home and have some soup and put your feet up and, I don't know, watch Titanic or Beaches or, whatever you do.
You were going strong. I don't know if I can handle one of those two. But
what is your go-to film to amuse yourself when you're laying on the couch, can't move?
Might be Hoosiers.
God bless you. You continue to get better by the day. All right. Well, feel better, and we will speak to you hopefully next week, Lisa.
Okay, done.
There you go. Enjoy your weekend. Lisa Goddard, ladies and gentlemen. And her go-to film is a sports flick. Come on! All right. Oh, I knew this was going to happen. We're going to get all these Fred Thompson guys. Fred Thompson, you write this down. You are going to hear that name. He may not run an 08. probably in 12 then, if he doesn't run in a weight, if he drops out. He's one of those guys. You have no idea who he is, but if I put him on the screen, you'll be like, oh, yeah, Fred Thompson. I know that guy. The only thing I can really name that Fred Thompson has been in is Iron Eagle with Jason Gedrick and Lou Gossett Jr., where he refers to getting his blank in a ringer, blah, 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 blah. Rick, hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Yeah, I think you're right about Fred Thompson as the recognizable factor, but I think it could backfire because everything I've seen him from, he's been an a-hole.
Well, he was kind of a jerk in The Hunt for Red October, wasn't he?
Yeah, and also he was Roseanne's tyrannical boss for, I think, the first year or two.
All right, okay. Yeah, he's kind of like that guy. J.T. Walsh was the same way.
Yeah,
sort of a guy that just was sort of an oily, like, corporate white-collar bastard.
Although I would like to see J.T. Walsh run. Of course, he's all that dead and all, but...
I was going to say, you can... I mean, he doesn't have much choice now if you wanted to do it. He can't really say no.
Could do worse.
And fantastic. Thank you, sir.
You bet.
J.T. Walsh. J.T. Walsh was my favorite character actor. This is now, we've gone now from political wanking to film wanking. Favorite character actors. We're going to end this now. As that guy says in Adam House, let's stop this now! Rick, you call yourself a man. Fred Thompson is most recognizable as his role in the Admiral of the aircraft carrier in The Hunt for Red October. Thank you. Signed, O'Jim O'Savenblah. Some humans would do... I'm reading his SIG file. I do that a lot, by the way. I'll read an email, and then I just start to... I roll all the way through the signature, and I start to read the actual signature file. Rick, let's see, what else do we have here? Rick, you thought you'd like to know this about Q-List band members. We were talking about this this thing I got from the Wolfman Jack Entertainment. I don't mean to be poking fun, by the way. All of these guys are rock stars, and I'm not. Or they were rock stars. I've never been a rock star. Probably not going to be a rock star. But it does really when and they rank these in order of the likely. Like clearly, they put like the big names first on this Wolfman Jack Entertainment newsletter. And it, I mean, when Brewer and Shipley are really at the very Brewer and Shipley, followed by a tribute to Rod Stewart. Anyway. 503-733-2970. We got a break here in just a second here. Should I be taking I don't know if these are screened or well. All right. Hello, Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Fred Thompson was in Die Hard 2. He was the director of the airport.
Oh yeah. I'm not a man. I'm not a huge Die Hard 2 fan, but I okay.
Now you remember.
Now I remember. Thank you, sir. All right, there you go. Let's do one more. Hello, Rick Emerson Show. How can I help you today?
Hey, Rick, happy Friday. Fred Thompson's filling in for Paul Harvey all this week. He's going to be on in a few minutes.
You're lying, really?
No, yeah, he is. He is.
Boy, let's just talk about Paul Harvey for a second. I listened to Paul Harvey the other day, quite by accident. I was just sort of just flipping around and just seeing what's out there. What's lurking on the AM dial, as they say. And it was all crap. It was all tedious and terrible. So you don't, none of you, I've done the work for you. I've done the legwork and the exploring for you. I've gone over the hill. I've surveyed the valley. And I've come back to tell you, it's all terrible. But I did happen to hear Paul Harvey. And when you hear Paul Harvey now... I mean, I have only their word that he's still alive and recording new material. But when you hear Paul Harvey now, the first thing that happened, it's like a three-stage response when you listen to Paul Harvey now. The first is you think, good Christ, this is an old person I'm listening to. It's like you picture his vocal cords, and they just seem like ragged tarps blowing in the wind. Just sort of a as he speaks. And then the second thing is, you get used to it within, like, 5 seconds. Like, he just sounds so unbelievably old, but he has always been old, and so your brain adjusts and compensates for it almost immediately. And then the third thing is, I find myself, like every idiot in the world, I find myself listening all the way through to the rest of the story to find out that it was Samuel Colt who created the Colt 45, which I probably could have figured out. 5 seconds, Wikipedia, I could have figured it out. Instead of listening through 2 minutes of Paul Harvey and 19 goddamn Bose radio commercials to figure out Samuel Colt.
It's how he tells the story, I guess. But I have a 65-year-old friend who was blown away that he's still doing the radio. But yeah, he still does it.
No, he's an icon.
This week it's Thompson. But hey, check it out. I'm half Irish, so can we start telling like racist, derogatory jokes at the Irish's expense? I mean, come on. I mean, the Irish.
Sarah's nodding her head.
They're the one group we could still pick on, right? I mean.
Well, I'm sure we can think of some others if we really
can. Hey, could you take me off with the losing signal, please?
No. You can't get it by asking for it. You can't give yourself a nickname, and you can't ask to be taken out with a bad phone signal. We'll ponder it, sir. Apparently, he was in Cape Fear as well. I don't remember that.
What was he in Cape Fear?
Fred Thompson wasn't in Cape Fear. Get out. You're thinking of Joe Don Baker, who is Mitchell. Let's take a break here. Come back with Tim Riley at the AM 970 News Desk and the Ministry of Truth at the News Hour. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email us, rick@rickemerson.com. Later on, Scott Daly and Jim Roop. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show.
Rumble, rumble, it's final. I'm black final. Full rock and roll coming like a rhino. Table turn. Suckers burn and learn. They can't disable the power of my label. Death Jam tells you who I am. The enemy's public. They really give a damn. Strong Island. Where I got a rylin'. That's the reason they're playing out of violin.
Get ready, because the greatest night of your miserable life is coming soon. From AM 970, Solid State Radio. You haven't heard the Tom Likas show lately. You haven't heard this.
Yeah. I have been a long-time listener. I don't know. I've been following you probably 20 years here in Los Angeles.
Wow.
Various different stations. And I've had satellite radio in the car, and it's a pleasure to come back to the Tom Likas show. Satellite radio has bored me to death.
Well, keep in mind, satellite radio is great if you like songs.
Yes.
Because they play lots of songs without commercials.
Repetition.
And if you are
repetition.
Yeah, but the thing is, with less commercials, guess what? The same songs have been played more often.
Tell me about it.
I mean, that's what, you know what? I've been in radio my whole life. I started out as a disc jockey.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that it doesn't repeat more is because of commercials. So what you're finding now is they want to play the hits.
Let's listen. The Tom Likas Show. Weekdays at 3 on AM 970. Solid State Radio.
This Friday and Saturday is Kohl's main event sale when everything in the store is on sale with extra power hour savings. Kohl's sells a portable GPS. I'll get one of those to explore the store. Then I'll head north to the sleepwear department, turn left for shoes, head east for a digital photo frame, and turn right for scented candles and cookware. This portable GPS is genius. Kohl's main event sale with Night Owl specials Friday 3 to 11 p.m. Early bird specials Saturday 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. Kohl's. Expect great things.
When it comes to your car or your home, you wouldn't settle for anything less than the best. Why settle on a mattress? Instead of sleeping on one of those inexpensive memory foam knockoffs, you could be sleeping on a Tempur-Pedic. Tempur-Pedic is the only mattress made from the superior proprietary Tempur material developed by NASA for sublime sleep experience. Those other guys are just pale imitations. There's only one Tempur-Pedic. Don't settle for anything less. Call Tempur-Pedic at 1-800-805-3495 today for free information, a sample of Tempur material, and a 90-day trial certificate. That's 1-800-805-3495.
Hello, class. I am your instructor, and today's subject is car dealership tactics. No doubt many of you have already encountered